Some people are like, man, why is church so loud? You think heaven's going to be quiet? You think people are just going to stand around and be like, oh, right? I love the book of Psalms. It tells us a lot of what's going to happen in heaven, and it also teaches us how to praise God. And there are all kinds of instruments. There's all kinds of praise. There's all kinds of positions of praise, standing, kneeling, laying before God, clapping, right? I'm waiting for the day that somebody comes in the house and they bring a harp. Right, no, that'd be weird. But there's going to be all kinds of instruments. There's going to be all kinds of praise and celebration. And it's going to be amazing. And you think, man, I'm going to get bored of that. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a perfect place. And I'm so thankful that we serve a perfect God that loves us today. Amen. He loves us today. In spite of all the things that you brought here today with you, God loves you right now with it, and he wants to love you through it. He wants to get you through it, and he wants to purify your life. He wants to set you free. He wants to see victory in your life like you've never seen before. But you got to give him your life. You got to give him your life. You got to give him your situations. You got to be real and honest. I love last week. Last week was powerful. To come and just bring everything to God. If you weren't able to make it, you got to go back and watch. God had a great word for us, and I'm so thankful for that. We just had to lay it down before God. He's got to change things in our lives, but we first have to come to him open and honest before him and say, here I am, you know, clean out my closet. Clean out the junk in my life. You got to clean that out one by one. Make me purified and cleansed in your presence, God. And as you do that, God's going to set you free, church. He's going to set you free. You think, well, why do I want to be free? Well, you need to be free so you can live free and you can live in Christ, right? And then also you need to live free because there are people that are bound that need to know this freedom in Christ Jesus. And they can't find that if you keep walking up to people trying to teach them that there's freedom in Jesus and you're just as bound as they are, right? You got to be free today. Come on now. You can say amen if you agree. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I just want to say a quick thank you before I get in the word for everybody that came yesterday to the spring cleanup day. Thank you so much for getting God's house clean and ready. It's so awesome to look around inside, outside, and we're just giving God honor and praise. You were glorifying God as you were cleaning his house. And thank you, John Beyer and Melissa. Thank you so much for leading that yesterday. I appreciate you doing that. And I tell Miss Melissa, she's the one that's like the facility assistant. She basically cleans a majority of the church. And I tell her, you know, it's not a job. You are worshiping God. You're just as much of a minister as I am. You're just doing it in a different way. What you do is a ministry. Yeah, it's a job because you're getting to work, but you are ministering through that. And it's good. Even the Bible talks about if we don't treat God's house better or even equal to your own home, then there's a rebuke in the Old Testament about that. Like, how can you do this and update your home and do all these great things to your house and clean it and get all these things that you're going to take care of it, but then you neglect God's house? And there's a rebuke there. And so I love that when we have that twice a year, there's just a big gathering and we all come together and we clean. It's a great honor to God. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, last month's series titled Creatures of Habit was a great one. Remember this, what we believe determines what we do. And what we do determines who we become. Now, habits have a three-step process. You got a cue or a trigger, right? Something happens. And then there's the response. And based off the response, you then have an outcome. So in order to change a bad habit, you got to replace it with a better response. You're always going to be triggered. Things are always going to cue you. But it depends how you respond to that will determine the outcome. Amen? Amen. I was blessed by March series. Were you? Amen. I was blessed by it. I was challenged by it too. And I was just telling somebody on Wednesday night, we were sitting around tables and just talking. That was awesome, by the way. Eating a bunch of food, right? And praying that the calories are killed before we put it in our mouth, right? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Okay, I'm totally just joking, right? That's heresy. I'm getting out of the pulpit when I say that. But heresy, no pun intended. But no, I'm I loved getting around tables and just talking and eating and breaking bread with one another. And oftentimes people are like, they wonder, but you hear the sermon second, right? This is the sermon that God preaches to me, and I just get to bring it to you as well. So I love that God was just challenging me over and over again last month as well. And I love preaching God's word. I love being in the house. But it's awesome when God challenges us, right? If we just want to have a feel-good sermon, just turn on TBN or something, okay? But it's quiet in the house today, by the way. But God's word is challenging. Yes, it is uplifting. But God wants to transform your life, right? There's not a single person in God's word that met Jesus and truly gave their life over and said, you know, I didn't really change anything. Everyone was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're transformed by their encounter with the living God. And that's what we want in the church house. Yes, we want to be built up, but we have to change certain things in our life. We need to be challenged. We need to grow, right? We need to grow closer to Jesus, not further from him. We want to look more like Jesus than less than the world, okay? So I love it when God gives us strong words, but I'm just thankful for this new series that we have, and it's titled From the Ashes. Amen? Did y'all bring something to burn today? Come on now. Woo, come on. That's good. You can't be set on fire if you didn't bring anything to be burnt. Our lives can sometimes feel like they're a pile of ashes. We become broken and shattered and destroyed. However, the good news of Jesus is life, his death, and his resurrection means we can experience new life and have our lives rise from the ashes. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the month of April, church. Can you believe it's already April? It's crazy. Amen. It's going to be so much nicer this afternoon. I'm looking forward to some sunshine. I'm getting pasty white. I mean, I'm just... Pastor, where's your shirt? Stop and end. Can't wait to get some sunshine, right? Some vitamin D. Amen. Why y'all laughing? That's literally the loudest you laughed the entire morning. Welcome to Palm Sunday. It's Holy Week. Amen. It's Holy Week. Hosanna in the highest. Church, say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Woo, come on now. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. The New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are stories of Jesus and how when he walked the earth. These are people that walk with him, and they give encounters of things that happened. And oftentimes you kind of see the same story, but from a different perspective. Luke's probably one of my favorite because I'm a guy of details. I like details, and Luke was a physician, and he was very detailed. But each one brings its own perspective. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is a wonderful book to start reading. If you're new to the faith, if you're new to Christianity, or you want to know more about who is this God and why does he love me, open the book of John. It really describes how much Jesus loves you. But we're opening up Matthew right now, and you go to the chapter 21. Each of those big numbers is a chapter, and then the small numbers are verses. Did you know the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses? Right? It's just this long script written on all kinds of things. It's just this long thing. The reason why we have chapters and verses is because I don't want to say, open somewhere toward the end in the middle, and it's before this and after that, and everybody's searching forever. It's an easy reference point for us. That's why we have Matthew 21. So those are put in there as reference points for us to find that. So in about 30 A.D., almost 2,000 years ago on the dot, during the springtime, just like now, the Jewish people celebrated the first Palm Sunday. In the holy city of Jerusalem, there was a large crowd gathering with pilgrims, people who have come all over for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus had spent many months traveling through the towns and the villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God, and he healed the sick wherever he went. Now the time had come for him to claim his title as the promised Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Redeemer of the world, the one that can turn our ashes into victory. As Holy Week was approaching, Jesus knew his mission was almost finished. As they traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned his disciples that he would soon be put to death. But after 3 days, he would rise again. Can you imagine hearing that for the first time? I would be just like the disciples, like, what is he talking about? A lot of times we look at the disciples and say, oh, that's silly. No, man, you'd be in their shoes too. You know it. You know it, right? We all find our place at certain times, putting our feet in shoes of these stories. And right there, when Jesus kept telling them, hey, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again. Okay, I don't understand what that means, right? All right, I've seen you do miracles. I've seen you do amazing things. And demons even know who you are, and they flee. I get it all, but I don't quite comprehend what you're saying here. Right? Sometimes, church, we get a little too spiritual and we don't allow ourselves to be human, right? It's okay to be human. It's okay to understand that you don't understand. Come on. The people who are found don't need a savior. The people who are lost need a savior, right? We need somebody to lead us. A lot of times we get so high up that we forget how low we really are, and we really need to recognize that Jesus is the only one that can set us free. And no matter how high we think we are, how much we think we know, when you get into that spot, you ask God to break the pride in your life. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, you need to move up next week. That's what you need to do. Come on now. I feel like I'm in the crowd right now. Praise God. Amen. I love that. When something bubbles up in you and you're like, you know what? That resonates with my life and my spirit. That's why we say amen, right? We say, I agree. Amen to that. Let it be. Let it be, right? So it's all right. It's all right to say that in the church, right? This isn't a library, right? Right? We got books. But we ain't got no librarian, okay? She ain't gonna shush you, not in this church. Hallelujah. So as the Holy Week was approaching, Jesus knew his mission was almost finished. And as they're traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he was soon gonna die, but he's gonna rise again. And as they came near Jerusalem, Jesus told his two disciples, go into that nearby village over there and bring me a donkey. It'll be waiting for you. So after the two disciples bring the donkey to Jesus, Jesus rides in on it, and he rides all the way into the city of Jerusalem. As Jesus rode in, the people shouted, Hosanna! While waving branches, right? Get your branch out, church, of victory. Say, Hosanna!
Hosanna!
This is what it looked like when he was walking in, right? When he was riding in on that donkey. Hallelujah. I got a big one. Some of you guys have like little baby ones, like, waving as fast as you can. Amen, amen. We'll put this right here. Still counts, man. Just keep on waving that bad boy. On the first Palm Sunday, the crowds of people spread their coats on the ground as Jesus was riding in on that donkey. And many of them, they laid palm branches and they waved palm branches as a sign of victory and triumph. Now, recognize this, church. This all happened before Jesus was betrayed. This all happened before he took our stripes. This all happened before he took our nails. And this all happened before he laid on our cross. This is 1 week before he would rise from the ashes. It's 1 week before he would walk out of that tomb alive. Only a king would be greeted with waving of palm branches and coats to walk on. The people wanted Jesus to be their king. But they missed the eternal perspective of the moment. They missed how powerful waving those palm branches of victory would be. Most of the people did not understand what kind of king Jesus was, or what kind of king Jesus is. They wanted Jesus to give them an earthly victory for right now. But Jesus came to give them an eternal victory for forever. Let's read the story in God's Word. I hope you opened up to Matthew 21. If you didn't do that, we're going to have it behind me here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading out of the NIV version on this. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now, don't you do this at Walmart or Target, okay? Okay. Right? That's called theft, okay? All right, verse 4. This took place to fulfill what has spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats or their cloaks on them as Jesus could sit on them. A very small crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Church, I'm prophesying that next week on Sunday, the whole city is going to be stirred. Week 11, or verse 11, amen. And the crowds answered back. They answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee." Church, get your palm branches out. "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Amen. Today's Palm Sunday. And I want to highlight the palm branch and the palm tree for our next moments together. The triumphal entry of Jesus on the very first Palm Sunday that we just read about was part of our human history. Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem almost exactly 2,000 years ago, before his betrayal and before his crucifixion. As he entered the holy city, many people broke off palm branches and waved them in front of him, shouting, "Hosanna!" Now, what is Hosanna? Hosanna is an expression of adoration, praise, and joy. Now, there's another picture of victory in God's, with God's children in God's Word. When palm branches were in their hands, and we can find that in Revelation. This is what it says. It says in Revelation 7, 9, and 10, it says, "After this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" Isn't that awesome? Now, the Bible also talks about palm trees. It says in Psalm 92, 12 through 14, it says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God." And I love this, verse 14. "Even in old age." Come on. Even in old age. I just had my 41st birthday and I'm getting older. We're not getting younger, right? "Even in old age." What you laughing about? That's the Bible, man. "They will still produce fruit." Come on now. "And they will remain vital and they will remain green. That's good. Come on, my seasoned saints, right? Woo! That's you. That's you. I cut my hair short so you don't see all the salt in my pepper. Church, our lives sometimes can feel like they're a pile of ashes. We can become broken and we can become shattered and we can become destroyed. However, the good news of Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection will bring with it an experience of new life, victory, and triumph as he rises our lives from the ashes. Now, when we look at the palm branch, we can be reminded that Jesus didn't come just to give you an earthly victory for today. When we look at the palm branch, Jesus, he came to give you an eternal victory for forever. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hallelujah. Now the palm tree has several characteristics about it that picture the victorious life of a Christian. Psalm 92:12 says this, we just read it, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. Did you know that the palm tree will bend but will not break? The strong winds of the storm uproot and break ordinary trees. Come on, y'all know that, right? Derecho. And Frank cried a tear. Where are you at, Frank? I saw you. Strong winds of a storm will uproot and even break ordinary trees, but rarely a palm tree. Most trees get blown away by the storms they face, but not a palm tree. Palm trees bend all the way down. They can go all the way down to the ground, but then they straighten up again after the storm is over. And after the storm passes, did you know that a palm tree is now actually stronger because of the storm? Come on now. First John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says this, for every child of God defeats the evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. That's good. We are victors in Christ Jesus. And church, we are meant to bend and not break. That's good. You want some more good stuff? All right, here's another one. Did you know that palm trees not only survive, but they actually flourish in the dry places? A palm tree does not simply grow in the desert, it actually flourishes in the desert. The roots of a palm tree go deep below the burning sand and find moisture down deep, 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 deep below the surface. The reason the palm tree can survive in very dry environments is because of its root system. See, the date palm tree that produces dates does not have a tap root, but instead it has thousands of little rootlets. Most no thicker than a human finger, spreading out and down beneath the surface. The roots may be small, but they're so firm that the date palm can stand through a monsoon. The large number of roots allow it to reach out and down and draw water and nourishment it needs to survive, and it needs to flourish in the driest of places. Colossians 2:7 says this, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen? 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 Church, many Christians are not flourishing because they're seeking nourishment on the surface. They're running their root systems out of life, out laterally. And what happens is they become shallow Christians. When the storms of life come, they fall, they break, and they become weak. They look to the world for refreshment. And they always come back thirsting for more. The world will never satisfy. The mindsets, the literature, the knowledge, the pleasures, the entertainment of the world, it's shallow. And it's unfruitful. The secret to flourishing like a palm tree, to have a flourishing life in the driest of places, is this: many deep roots in Christ. In Him we find and draw our nourishment and our stability to flourish like a palm tree, flourish even in the driest and the harshest of conditions. Amen? Okay, here's another cool thing. A group of palm trees, they form an oasis. One palm tree standing alone will not provide much shade from the burning sun, but a group of palm trees, they form an oasis. An oasis that provides shade for a weary traveler. We are called to stay together and stand together as Christians. We're called to get in and stay in a New Testament church to grow and to serve others. Right? I haven't said this in a long time. Fortunately, churches have a lot of fat sheep because all you do is eat the manna of life and you don't give any away. You just eat all you want. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet, but that's not what God wants. When you get the bread of life, you eat what you need and then you give away. Okay? We need some lean sheep up in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let that soak in a little second. Okay. Often in the desert, you'll find orange and lemon trees growing. And where do they grow? They grow beneath the shade of palm trees. Palm trees that are standing together. Church, when we group ourselves together in a corporate setting, we provide shade and protection for others. And what that does is it helps others produce fruit in their life. Come on now. It's true. Palm trees grow better in families than they do alone. This is why Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:25, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Before I go off that, I want to speak to somebody because I feel like this is for you right now. You've been hurt by church. I've been hurt by church many times, right? There was a time in my life when I wasn't a pastor and I was working in the secular realm and working at a big company, and I got hurt by the church, even hurt by the pastor when I was helping serve. I got this anger for God. How could God do this? And then God said, "You're judging me based on imperfect humans." Okay? And a lot of times church hurts deeper than other hurt. Why? Because you allow church people or church family in deeper. You're like, "Well, I don't have this at work." That's because your work don't know your business. Right? "Well, work doesn't do that to me." That's because they don't really know who you are. They know the 9-to-5. Church people walk with you in life, in your struggles, in your storms, in your pain. So I just want to encourage whoever that is, and you've been hurt by the church, I get it. A lot of us get it. But don't judge God based off of what other people do. Give God His glory. He didn't do it to you. They did it. And they're imperfect just like you. And you've probably hurt somebody else at some point. And the Bible says, forgive others as you want to be forgiven. So let that go to God. Give it to God. Be healed. Because the church is the way that God is choosing until His second return. God is using the church to spread the gospel. That's how it works. That's His plan A right now, right? We're filled with the Spirit of God and we go into the world and preach the good news. That's what it's called to do. That's what we're called to do. To raise up disciples. So if you've been hurt, that's for you. I just feel like God wanted you to know that He loves you, He sees you, He sees that hurt, but you got to give it to Him. Okay? Church didn't do that to you. Somebody in the church did it to you. Right? Sometimes you go to a store and you're like, "Oh, I got bad service." And you know, Popeyes is the worst. No, that person was the worst, okay? That person did a bad job. It's not Popeyes or wherever you go and get bad service. I just want you to focus and see the person, forgive the person, and release God from that anger. Amen? When you do that, you're going to be released, and God is going to flourish in your life, because you need to be a part of a church family. It's important, because when we all come together, we provide shade for the hurting and the lost and the broken and the weary travelers. Amen? The church should be an oasis. All right, here's another cool thing. The palm tree can withstand abuse. The heart of most ordinary trees is dead. Right? The vulnerable area of an ordinary tree is usually the outside of the tree. It's what's under the bark. Why? Because it's hollow and empty on the inside, but the heart of a palm tree is alive. The life of the palm tree is on the inside. So outward abuse does not affect the life or the quality of life of a palm tree. Even under attack, abuse, all kinds of things that happen in its environment, even under that attack, the winds and the waves and the abuse that comes, it stays strong because its strength and its life is found on the inside. Amen. Most trees get their nutrients to survive just below the bark. So when you cut or abuse them, they begin to die. But not the palm tree. Its life comes from its core, right? You ever hear that when you're a kid, right? You like peel the bark and somebody says, "Don't you do that. You know, you're going to hurt the tree." Or maybe that's just because I grew up in Oregon and we hug trees. I don't know. Right? Tree hugging hippies. Not wrong in some ways. Or you carve your name into a tree and say, "That could kill it." See, all that is needed to kill other trees is to expose the tree by cutting, peeling, or abusing its surface. Just cut it down to its wood, and what happens is the sap quickly starts or stops flowing, and the tree starts to die. There's many Christians living near their surface. Their feelings are easily hurt, and a little persecution or abuse discourages them. They can't stand long with opposition. But you may hack, peel, or either girdle the palm tree, and it continues to live. When you abuse a palm tree on the outside, it won't kill it on the inside. This is true for believers in Christ who know their life comes from within. You can peel, you can slander, you can abuse their reputations to pieces. You can do it with cruel words or hurtful experiences, and still they have victory in God. Because their lifeblood is on the inside. Even under attack and abuse, the palm tree survives, and oftentimes it actually thrives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says this: "That is why we never give up. That is why you will never give up. That is why you should never give up. Though our bodies are dying and getting abused and beaten and hurt, our spirits are being renewed every day." Come on now. That's good. Did you also know, and I know you, maybe you didn't, but the older the palm tree is, the sweeter the fruit. Come on now. That's good. I just thought of something. You might look like a date, all wrinkly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know I love you. You know I love you. Oh, I had to say it. I was like there. I was back and forth. My sister's like, "When you get home, your wife's going to talk to you about that one. Come on, baby, you know it's funny." It's true. As the palm tree grows older, its fruit grows even to become sweeter. The seed of a date palm normally takes 4 to 5 months to germinate. And it's in its 18th year, the tree begins to bear fruit. Here's a really cool thing. Even a single date palm tree can bear up to 600 pounds of sweet fruit a year. Now, the female date palm can bear 200 to 1,000 dates per cluster. Here's even more fascinating. Check this out. The date palm tree will bear fruit annually every year for well over 100 years. Now, this is what experts say. So, like, if you want to, like, buy some bougie dates, right? And you want to get, like, the really expensive ones. Here's where they pick them, okay? This is what experts say. The older trees with the most scarred trunks, okay? The oldest trees with the most beat up outside of them actually produces the sweetest of all fruit. Now, how true is that also for a sanctified, victorious life found in a seasoned Christian? All bitter roots of carnality have been turned to ashes. Holy Spirit fire has burned and purified the hearts and the lives of a seasoned follower of Jesus. Right? You can say, I've been through some things. And God has sought, he has walked with me, and he has been with me, and he's gotten me through some things. The longer of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit abides, the sweeter one's life will be. The Holy Ghost wants to sweeten our disposition so we'll become Christ-like in our hearts and in our minds and our behavior. Right? Can anybody in the house say, I don't act, I don't think, and I don't do the things that I used to do? Amen? For a victorious Christian, here's what happens. The scars of life produce the fruit of holiness. For a victorious Christian, the scars of life, what they do is they produce the fruit of the Spirit. The trials of life continue to conform us into the sweet image of Jesus. Okay, I'll say that again, brother. I'm going to say it all, that little line. For a victorious Christian, the scars of life produce the fruit of holiness. They produce the fruit of the Spirit. The trials of life continue to conform us into the sweet image of Jesus Christ. It's true. Your testimony says more than, if you got a bunch of money in the bank account, your testimony says more to the non-believer than you being rich. It says more to the non-believer that you've walked through some things or you're going through things and you still have joy, right? You still have peace. You still have a hope. That says a lot more than a great bank account that I've been blessed, right? I got all this stuff. That's awesome. That's for the kingdom. You've been blessed to be a blessing. But there's something about somebody who's walked through something, been through something, walking through something now that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. That I'm going to get through it. That you can't take me down, devil, because my lifeblood is on the inside of me. You can beat me up. You can tear me down. And you can do things in my life. But right now, I know that I'm going to stand. I'm going to bend and not break. Right? I'm going to stand because the lifeblood is in me. Because my God is my victory. Amen? I'm going to say to that problem, Hosanna in the highest heaven. Come on now. Where am I at? Praise God. I'm at church. Brother, you at church too. Oh, hey, how long you guys been there? Woo. You're at church. Okay. Thank you. I love practical people. I love them. You don't got to read through anything. You just see it as it is, and I love it. Praise God. You at church, brother? Okay. Thank you. Right? Now I let it go, okay? Now as Christians grow older and they've walked through more storms and trials, they should grow sweeter and produce sweeter fruit as well. And the Bible calls that fruit that remains. Psalm 92:14 says, even in old age, even if you look like a date, hallelujah, even in old age, praise God, it's all going to happen. Don't you hate it. We're all going to be there, right? Even in your old age, come on now, I'm talking to you, anybody who feels like they're getting old. Come on. Anybody who raises the roof like that, right? Hey. Even in their old age, they will still produce fruit. You will still produce fruit. You are not called to sit in the pew until you go to heaven. You're not called to go to the shadows and just be there as a prayer warrior. You're called to produce fruit. And guess what? And you're going to remain, when you do that, you're going to remain vital and green. Amen. I'm talking to the blue hairs. You're supposed to be green. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm feeling it right now. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. Here's the last thing I want to talk about, how a palm tree or a palm branch comes together just like a Christian life, a victorious Christian life, is this. The palm tree, it represents victory. The palm branch is the symbol of victory. It's a symbol of triumph. It's a symbol of peace and eternal life. Now, this originated in ancient Near East and in the Mediterranean world. People would wave these branches around. They'd wave them around when an army came back from war. And they'd be like, oh, praise God for our victory. Praise God for the soldiers that have returned. Praise God that we're not going to be overtaken. Come on. Praise God that we're not going to be plundered. Praise God that they're not going to take off things. Praise God that we have been more than conquerors. Praise God that we don't got to worry about the enemy anymore. Praise God that they've been defeated. Praise God, right? Woo! Our army's back. Praise God. 2,000 years ago, they did that very same thing in victory. For a man that was riding in on a donkey, Jesus won the victory for us. He is our conquering hero. He entered that holy city and he walked right into Holy Week. And we still shout to this day in triumph, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Why? Because we're victorious in Christ Jesus, that's why. Right? You notice there was victory before there was even things that took place. So there's a lot of people in here today and you expect there to be victory, but you don't see it yet. Well, they were shouting in victory before Jesus even took lashings and beatings and nails and a cross, before he was betrayed, before he broke bread with the one that was going to come against him. They were shouting in victory. So maybe in your life, you got to shout some victory before you even see it in your life, right? There's something that you're walking through right now and the victory is just ahead of you, but you haven't been saying, Hosanna, I got victory in Christ Jesus. You've been just waiting for it to happen. But even these people, even though they got their perspective wrong, they still recognize there's victory in this man that's coming on a donkey. He's coming in peace. Ooh, he's coming in peace to wage war. That's what he did. Come on now, that's from the Holy Ghost. And Jesus wants to come in your life with peace to wage war, right? A lot of times when you know that you're in God's hand, right? When you're in God's protection, you get a peace inside of you, but the storms all around you are going, right? Because there's the peace of the man that rode in on a donkey to wage war. Come on now. God, I need your peace. It don't have to all look like the storms are over. I just need to know you're with me and there's peace inside of me, that the lifeblood in me, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. I'm going to do it one more time. Even if I look like a date, greater is he that's in me. That's the last time. Praise God. Woo! You can have fun in church, right? God ain't boring. So we don't got to be boring. Even if, just joking, I said one more time. That's I gotta be a man of my word. Church, no matter what storm you face, or what dry place that you are in, or how much abuse you have taken or are taking right now, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Romans 8:37 says this. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. Colossians 2:15 says this. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. You don't gotta scream and yell at those demons and throw holy water. You just tell them where to go. He shamed them publicly by the victory over them on the cross. Sometimes they come out with fast and prayer, right? If you got some sort of demonic thing that's going on in your life, you got to fast and pray. And sometimes you just got to tell it where to go. You go back to the pit of hell where you deserve, right? You get out of this family. You get out of this life. You get out of my life. You get out of my job. You get out of these things. Get out. I got victory in Christ Jesus. Go by the blood of Jesus, by the power of Jesus. Go. And then walk on. Don't just sit there and just talk about it all the time. Walk on. You're in victory. Come on now. Worship team, can you please come up? All right. Palm Sunday. This is what Palm Sunday. It recalls the events in history when Jesus entered into Jerusalem and was greeted in victory and triumph by the people waving their palm branches. For Christians, this day, Palm Sunday, this is a reminder for us of welcoming Jesus into our lives and into our hearts, and the victory that comes from a victorious life found in Christ. Church with the Lamb of God, church with the King of Kings, we bend, but we will not break. We flourish even in the driest places of life. With the Lamb of God and the King of Kings, we come together and we create an oasis for other people. And we can withstand abuse. And the older that we get, the sweeter the fruit we will produce. Church with the Lamb of God and the King of Kings, we live in victory. We do. We live in victory. And it doesn't always look like what you think victory should look like, just like 2,000 years ago with him riding in and wanting them to overthrow the Roman Empire. That's not what he did. He overthrew all empires, right? Right? Sometimes the victory doesn't look like what you want it to look like. And guess what? God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. So don't always expect what you want to get. Sometimes say, God, have your way. I know there's victory in you, and I'm going to see it one day. But when I see it, then I'm going to give you praise for it. But I'm just going to believe it right now. And I have these expectations, but God, it's your way, right? It's your way. It's what you want to do. See, Jesus did not come for a temporary reign. Jesus came for an eternal reign. With an eternal purpose, Jesus came to bring new life from the ashes. Church, it's so easy to look at the ashes of our life and focus on the brokenness and our pain that we find ourselves in. We're human. That happens. And it's probably going to happen again. You know, it's actually even harder to focus on what has gone ahead of us or even what's about to arrive. But I want to remind you of something this morning. I want to give you some good news. Resurrection Sunday is coming. It's about to arrive, for our King is alive. Yeah. Amen. He's alive. Hosanna in the highest. He's alive. So we need to again welcome King Jesus into our broken lives and let him make something beautiful out of the ashes. Now, if you come next week, which I hope you do, and I hope you bring somebody with you, crazy math. If you bring one person, we'll double in size. I know. That's crazy. But that's math. Come on, my practical brother. I got you. If you come back next week for Easter Sunday, I'd love to tell you more about this victorious life that's found in the resurrection power of Jesus. I'd love to tell you more about it. I'd love to tell you about it, and whoever you bring, what kind of love God has for you, how much He loved you, how much He loved you before you were even created, how much He loved you before the foundations of the world, how much He loves you now, and how much He's going to love you for eternity. I'd love to tell you about it. The good news of Jesus is in His life, His death, and His resurrection. And you know what it means? It means we can experience new life right now in our lives, and we can rise from the ashes. That's what that means. Church, will you stand? I'm going to have us do this. Grab your palm branch one more time. We're going to go out waving our palm branches, singing Hosanna. We're going to go out in victory. Amen? So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go right into it, and feel free to go when you want. And don't eat more than you need to. Hallelujah. Right? And if you have the means, church, if you have the means, pay for somebody else's meal today and tell them that. Don't say God loves you, because a lot of people say God loves you and they think Allah or whoever. You say Jesus loves you. Right? Say Jesus loves you, and I was called just to pay for your meal today, or give them a blessing, whatever, okay? Amen. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's keep it waving, church.